God bless you, folks. You're good people. You may be seated. But the next few moments, let's recognize that he's here. Amen. Thank you, Katie. That song I wanted her to sing tonight. But let's recognize. I've been to churches that just like our church, anointed singing, preaching, and I've come with a load on my life and didn't get a thing out of the service. When God was moving on everybody else and his presence, his Shekinah, was evident. But I had the cares of the world. I mean, we are human, face it. But we are superhuman because of the Holy Ghost. Because of the Holy Ghost. So I got some good news and bad news tonight. You want the good news? Well, I don't know if it's good news or not. I'm winging it tonight. The bad news is winging. W-I-N-G-I-N-G. Winging it. The bad news of this, it might be the good news. My printer quit on me. And I knew it was the devil. But God said, maybe it's me. And so I got a sermon at home on my computer and somewhere 10 different times on the printer. And there she stays. And it was somewhat different than what I'm going to attempt to speak tonight. And so I don't apologize. You know, preachers, we shouldn't apologize for anything we say for Christ. But just bear with me. It'll probably be brief. I'm talking about the Holy Ghost tonight. We're celebrating Pentecost Sunday today. And I don't know if that's a Lutheran thing, a Methodist thing, a Catholic thing, Assembly of God thing. I don't know. But we still celebrate it. 50 days after the resurrection of Christ, God poured out his Holy Ghost upon 120. And it wasn't just by chance. The number 50 also means he gave the law 50 days after, I believe, they were set free from Egypt. And also, it's the second harvest feast. They say that the priest would come and they would get two lambs and get, I think, two shucks of corn, I believe I read, and they would wave it before the Lord. I don't know how they did that, but they said, that's what it said. That's what the internet said. But the Lord, 50 days after the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the Lord poured out the Holy Ghost. Now, if you go with me just for a little bit, just take a trip down memory lane. I want to give you just a second or two about the Holy Ghost in the Old Testament. Now, he always has been, because he's always been God. No, there's a Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost. I'm not oneness. But he's always been. He had a hand in creation. It said the Spirit of the Lord in Genesis, the first chapter, it brooded over the depth of the waters. And God spoke the Word. The Father spoke the Word. And the Word created all that we see right now by the Holy Ghost. So you see, the Holy Ghost was an active agent. He always was. He always was an active agent. And he was, and I thought hit me a while ago and liked to knock me off my shoes. But do you know that Adam was the first person filled with the Holy Ghost? It said that the Lord breathed into the nostrils and man become a living soul. And so Adam breathed the Spirit of God. And so you want to go back to Pentecost. Go all the way back when the first man. Now, I can't say that about the woman. Maybe yes, maybe no, but probably so. But he breathed and man became. And why? Adam did what he did. After what God showed him and gave him. They walked with God every night. They had communion and fellowship with God. And then God showed his Spirit through the economy of time. We know every story involves the Holy Ghost. And the reason I say Holy Ghost, now, I chase a rabbit right here. But I once preached at that same church I spoke of, the First Assembly in Baxter Springs. I preached there a long time ago, and I was preaching on the Holy Spirit, you know, and I called him the Holy Spirit. And I didn't know it, but that church still had old-time Parmites in it. That was people that was first received the Holy Ghost under Charles Parm, 1901. And this one old man, he got me after service. And he said, "Look here, boy." And I was ready to crawl away. He said, "He's not no Holy Spirit. He's the Holy Ghost. That's his name." "Yes, sir. Bye, Pastor." I got out of there. So I kind of got a habit of saying the Holy Ghost. And I mean the Holy Spirit. You can call him what you want, just as long as it's reverent. But the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, he moved down through the economy of time. He was present when the children of Israel come out of Egypt. He was the fire by night. He was the pillar of light, the great whirlwind, whatever you want to call it, by day. Man, that had to have been a sight, because you know they say that the children of Israel probably covered. Now, I'm guessing, because my memory's not the best that used to be. But they covered an 8-mile square. Now, it might have been more than that. But they numbered 2 million, 2.5 million. And so to watch this cloud and this pillar of fire have it moved. And when it moved, they moved. And when it stopped, they stopped. And they understood that this thing that they're witnessing now, they recognize that it had to be the Spirit of God. Otherwise, they'd have never made it to the promised land. And it stayed with them that 39 and a half, 40 years, every day they looked up and saw that pillar, or that night they saw that fire. And when it stopped, they stopped. And you know, we ought to be that way. We ought to move when it moves, and we ought to stop when it stops. But I got news for us. It's a moving lot stronger today than it is stopping. That's right. And so the Holy Spirit was there. We recognize it during the little David, you know, he fought that giant. And he said, "I come to you in the name of the Lord." He said, "I killed a bear and I did all this, but I've come to you now. You come with sword and spear, but I come in the name of the Lord." The Bible says, of course, it's New Testament, but the Lord says, no man can call the Lord except by the Holy Spirit and mean what they say. Now, I'll try to get that a little bit later, unless I forget it. But David come and he slew the giant. And what was he? it was nothing more than the Spirit of God. In Elijah's day, when he met the prophets of Baal, man, that's a real story. We somehow take these stories, we hear them over and over, and like myself, I've been privileged to be born in the Assemblies of God in Pentecost. I hear them over and over, and sometimes they get stale. But oh God, the Holy Ghost refreshes us. He keeps us. And Elijah, he said, he that answers by fire. And folks, that fire was nothing more than the Holy Spirit. Now we go to the dead time when there was no word for no prophet. How would you like it if our pastor come to the pulpit even for 1 month and sat there and looked at us, didn't tell us nothing, didn't try to lead us, didn't try to help us. We got no word. We go home, we get no word. There was no word from anybody. The Lord was not speaking. But then the Lord appeared on the scene. And after his resurrection, listen, this is what the Bible says. To whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many. This is Acts 1 verse 3. Infallible proofs. You know what infallible means? It means it's the truth. Being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God and being assembled together with them. This is what he said. He said, wait. Man, I think he said go. But he said wait. Wait for the promise of the Father, which I said, have you heard of me? For John only or truly baptizes with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. And then over the other part, chapter 2. And when Pentecost was fully come, they were all in one place in one accord. And right there is the key. If you're going to get along with your husband or your wife or your kids, you've got to walk. And Jesus finally went away. And then it happened. They got together and suddenly the Bible says it would fulfill what Jesus told them would happen. And they were all, we know, filled with the Holy Ghost. And you know something, when you are spiritual, nothing wrong with that, folks. We live in the world today that mocks spirituality. They mock being, for sake of better words, religious, but I mean spiritual. They mock being filled with the Holy Ghost. They mock our young people to death. They call us names. Yes, they do. They do. I don't know where you've been, but I've been there. And it's sad because we've got the answer to it all. I mean, we got an answer to your sickness, your disease. I'm so thrilled to hear the testimonies of this church. The young preacher that just got licensed. He preached a couple of Wednesday nights ago. He talked about his son destined for surgery. And the next day, all of a sudden, God healed the young man. Now, folks, maybe these are rarities in our churches. I don't know. But they shouldn't be. Because the Spirit of God, He can go everywhere. He can do everything. He is the executive, as they used to say in the old days, of the Godhead. He's the one. The Bible says Peter's standing up. And this is what Peter said in verse 16 of chapter 2. But this is that. Sometimes I wonder what this is. I've been a few places and not assembly so much, but Pentecostal places. One place we went in, I won't tell you where, in Tulsa. We were pastoring. We were invited to go to this church. We had their kids in our school. I couldn't go that night. My wife went. And she said, "Boy, I'm glad you didn't go." Now, I believe we ought to praise the Lord and lift our hands. And I ain't against that shouting. I ain't against, you know, some of that emotional stuff. Now, I can't do it, but I ain't against it. But my wife said this, "Oh boy," they got up and said, "It's time to demonstrate for the Lord." And this old boy, he got up, he went in the back of the church and kicked a hole in the wall. Now, I think emotionalism is a little bit extreme there. But he kicked a hole in, I think, the door, my wife said. And she said, "I'm glad you didn't come, because what you might have done." I've been to churches where all they do, I went to this one church as a young preacher boy, and this one man, it wasn't the Assembly of God, thank God, it's Church of God. But anyway, this person stood on the back and started speaking in tongues. I was so young, I didn't know the difference between the devil and the real. And so I just sat there in my pious way, "Oh, praise God, hallelujah." And this preacher got up and said, "That man demon-possessed back there." "He is? Well, what are you doing letting him demonstrate in the house of God?" But I've seen extremes like that. And we all have. We all had them. But that doesn't stop this promise from being fulfilled, that God said, "I'll pour out, this is that, that the Father has promised, and the church should do all it can to maintain it, to keep it." The Assemblies of God and Pentecostal groups have for years preached this doctrine, and it used to be the distinction of our church. And I'm glad it still is around here. But, you know, Brother Trask, how many remember Tom Trask? Oh, godly man. I read an article after he retired from the superintendency. And this article was his concern about the Assemblies of God. It also included Jack Hayford and other leaders in the Pentecostal movement. And they all agreed what has happened to our churches. We used to be Pentecostal. The thing that made us great is the thing we don't do now. Now, I say, thank God, we have all kind of models. Saddlebrook has given us a model of the church. Rick Warren has given us a purpose-driven church model. And others have given us so many other kind. I can't think of the name of this also. This Austrian, or what's big in music, they have given us a model to worship God by. Models are good. We can take him or leave them. But Brother Trask and Brother Hayford and other, these men said, we have literally given up our distinction that made us great. It isn't the education. Oh, I believe in everything you can get. Get all you can get, then get some more. It isn't the talent. We got the best talent in the world. It ain't the talent. But there's an Old Testament scripture that says in Zechariah, it's not by might, and it's not by power, and it wasn't then, it isn't now, and it'll never be, but it's by my Spirit. My Spirit, saith the Lord. It'll always will be that way, folks. And God's Spirit is the active ingredient and agency of moving the church down the road. Well, I didn't even have any open my notes. Y'all see my notes. I'm beginning to close, I think. I got to read my notes to find out if I'm closing or not. And I'm right-handed. And, of course, you know, I can't write. And so I have to scribble with my left hand if I scribble. You want to see it? Can you read that? I can't either. And that's why I said, Lord, I got to be at least half anointed tonight. Otherwise, then people are going to tell the pastor, never again. Never again. I'm almost beginning to. Well, it's okay. C.M. Ward said, and this was a joke back then, it's not so funny now. But I heard him say it, heard him preach. C.M. Ward said, they ask the question, and always ask amongst, do you need the Holy Ghost to go to heaven? Well, no. But C.M. Ward said, I wouldn't go to the grocery store. Now, he really said it, and he really meant it. He wouldn't go to the grocery store without it. It's not that you need it, or you got to have it. But the question is, why don't you if you don't? I mean, you're not penalized, you know, 15 yards and you got a punt. But the Holy Ghost is not a selective few. It's not to this church, that organization. And I know some that thinks they're it. And they isn't even half it. But when Jesus said, whosoever will come, let him drink of this water, that doesn't this just means salvation. It means being filled with the Holy Ghost. Do you know Jesus saved us to fill us? And we nowadays, and it's been this way for 30 years, as long as I can remember, people just don't want nothing to do with the Holy Ghost. Now, when we get saved at this altar, you get Father, Son, Holy Ghost. Make no mistake about it. You get all three. You get the Trinity. But the baptism is something, we call it a second definite work of grace. Now, that's what the Assemblies calls it. And I call it that too, I guess. It's after you've been saved. And I know people, our song leader in the church I grew up in Chautauqua, he prayed, and he was an old man, he prayed 25 years to be filled with the Holy Ghost before God filled him. He could have gave up the first tier. He could have said, well, that's not for me. But he kept on. I saw the day Alzheimer's overtook him. And my wife and I, we lived in Kentucky. We were there ministering in Kentucky. But I remember coming home, and they would lead him into the church. And he would just be like that, totally out of it. They would bring him up for prayer. Holy Ghost people prayed for him. And I seen this brother all of a sudden get life in his eyes. Movement, speech. He began to praise the Lord. He began to speak in tongues. He had the time of his life when we were through praying and having the time with him. He went back. Alzheimer's. I'm telling you something, people. You can kill the flesh, but you cannot kill the spirit. And when a man has the baptism of the Holy Ghost, it's great to be saved, man. It's great. Let me tell you. I mean, that's everything. But when you have the subsequent baptism of the Holy Ghost, you get power along with that that you've never seen before. If you never tried to walk on water and you had the baptism, try and walk on it. You got the power if you can step on scorpions. It's amazing what we haven't tapped. Now, the old timer, And I'm reading some books and going to get some more books on H.B. Garlock, the Assembly of God mission to Africa, early one. He had a book, Before We Kill and Eat You. Before We Kill and Eat You. What a book. And then his brother-in-law, A.N. Trotter, an Assembly of God man. These men did exploits. H.B. Garlock, one night, he was across this swollen river in Africa. He couldn't get across it. He laid down to go to sleep. He woke up the next morning. Guess what? He was on the other side. Now that's superhuman. We don't like to think of ourselves that have the Lord. And then those that went on with the baptism as superhuman. Yes, we are flesh. Yes, we have problems. Yes, we fail. But we like everybody else. We got a spirit that's in us that is as old as God Himself and is ageless. And friends, I want to encourage you, if you have not got the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and I'm sorry, but I preach tongues with it. It's no shame to get down and pray, oh God, fill me, God, fill me, and be there however long, and get up and you still ain't filled. There ain't no shame in that. You spent 30 minutes getting closer to God. You're no more saved now than what you was. But folks, if you stay praying, and I'm closing, because you don't tell you something you already know. The reason, I think, my personal reason, it's hard for Americans like you and I to get the Holy Ghost. I mean, salvation's easy. We accept it. It's free. It's easy if you want it. But the Holy Ghost, we got to fight through the heavens. And there is more. The Bible said in 2 Timothy, perilous times will come in the last days. And there is such evilness in the atmosphere. The Bible calls it the enemy, the prince of the air. And we have a hard time praying a lot of things through because of his activity that's been allowed. And that's just my opinion. But I think, just like that song says, there's an army rising up and it's well written. I hear this brother all day. I told him I went through in Dearborn once. I delivered before I had my stroke. Not my stroke, the devil's stroke. It's not my stroke. But I delivered up in Dearborn, and I never seen. Have I been to Dearborn? Nobody but me and him. It's wild. Now, it may not be now for our brother, but boy, it's wild. I mean, you think you're in Arabia or Lebanon or someplace like that. But it's got the same grace there. Because where sin abounds, grace does abound much more. And folks, when you think that's Burnover Field, that person's been to the altar too many times, I'm giving up on her, that young person, forget them. Why, they've done everything. I was 40 years old. They've done more in 20 years than 40 years. It doesn't matter to God. It matters to us, and it shouldn't, not the church. But we are the church, and we think different. We act different. We talk different. We don't down anybody, but we preach faith, as the Bible says, and faith in God's Word and the Lord Jesus Christ. And when the Bible says, you shall be filled, how do you receive Him, Brother Withrow? Well, you know, I'm talking to the choir now. We all know how to be filled with the Holy Ghost. But if you haven't, you just ask. And you praise, like that message in tongues this morning, as you praise Him, you draw waters from the well of salvation. And, you know, people get around, you know, and pray for you, turn loose, hang on, this and that, you know. You don't have to have anybody touching you. You can just say, God, I'm hungry. I'm hungry for more of you, Jesus. And when you pray that prayer, Jesus is glorified. That's what the Holy Ghost comes for. He makes Jesus that much bigger. And so it's my privilege to attend this church that believes what I preach. But sometimes, maybe a person falls through the cracks. Or maybe you prayed so many times, you ain't got it yet, so it ain't for me. It's for you, believe you me. If you've been saved, and you know how great that is, once you get the Holy Ghost, you'll never, ever be the same. Let's pray. Now, Father, before I turn the service back to the pastor, God, I'm sorry that I relied on man-made things such as a printer, oh God, and didn't have the adequate notes and spoke more from the heart and missed a lot. But God, you can take those few words that maybe made sense, oh God, and maybe there's somebody here that's just so hungry, God. Jesus, you are so wonderful to them and so marvelous. They don't know what to do. And God, and your answer is to receive your Spirit. And it's that important, Lord. And I pray here tonight, God, if there's anybody that's hungry, and the Bible said, blessed are those that hunger and thirst, they shall be filled. I pray, Lord, that however the pastor wants to do it, I'll leave it up to him. But God, fill. And then the rest of us, Lord, you know we need a good refilling too. I mean, on Pentecost Sunday, Lord, we might speak in tongues every day, but God, we need a fresh filling today. So thankful that there's one filling, but many refillings. So God, we praise you, and we thank you for this service. In Jesus' name. Pastor, will you come? However you want to do it. You want to dismiss? I don't blame you. Just take that.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor John. Thank you. I'm going to ask our worship team to come back, and I want to give everyone the opportunity.